come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark
and Brooke.
And this week we are talking about your pick of Tenet from 2020.
Yes, sir.
Not only is it a really long movie,
it is.
It's a fucking confusing as shit movie.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable though.
Yeah.
What made you pick this one besides the fact that I have your 4K and you probably want it back?
I mean, that was one of the main reasons, but you know, we haven't done a Nolan movie, and I feel like this movie kind of, I think, really suffered from COVID. Because it came out in 2020. I'd be curious to see what the box office was for this movie. I mean, it's probably only in theaters. Probably not even that much, but...
Yeah, because this... Yeah, theaters were shutting down pretty quick at this point.
Yeah, and I feel like no one really talks about this movie of Nolan's because it did kind of peak COVID. So, yeah. Now, I've only seen it the once and I want to watch it again. So, yeah.
The budget was $205 million. Gross worldwide was $365 million. So, I mean, it made money, but it probably would have made a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
Like, opening weekend, it only brought in $9.3 million in the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, before we start talking about this movie, let's kick off our box office news and booze. All right, what are you drinking tonight?
So I went to the LCBO to pick up some more beers, and I don't have any whiskey right now. So I took a gander through the aisle and I found something very interesting.
Okay.
Don't know what it's going to taste like, but it smells pretty good. And that is Spice Box Original Pumpkin Whiskey.
Okay.
Doesn't smell like pumpkin. It smells very like cinnamony.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I haven't tried it yet. So,
I'm curious.
Good.
Is it?
It is good.
Does it taste like pumpkin or cinnamon?
Not really. It kind of tastes like it's not. It's like as sweet as like Screwball. Like it doesn't taste like, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really taste like pumpkin, but it's good.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try and find some.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
I just raided our fridge and I found a Mike's Blue Freeze, so I'm drinking that tonight. I didn't feel like drinking another Michelob. Did you read anything interesting on that bottle? Right. It's like the old bathroom reader reading the shampoo bottles.
Oh, I love that.
All right, what did you watch this past week?
So this week, watched quite a bit. All right, so finished my Batman watch of the original kind of 90s ones.
Nice.
Batman and Robin. Not a good movie at all, but it's stupid fun. Yeah, Clooney is so bad.
Oh yeah,
it's bad. I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula. That was the first watch for me. Been kind of really going hard on my 4Ks that I haven't watched, and also some 2024 releases. Yeah, really good. Yeah, Keanu Reeves is awesome in it. The Substance from this year. I think on next watch I'll change my score lower.
Lower.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think I kind of just joined the hype with my rating.
Okay.
I thought it was good. The special effects were amazing. but it's kind of like too long and kind of, I don't know. It was good though. Definitely recommend checking it out. Then Bettina and I watched Drive Away Dolls from 2024.
Never heard of that.
Actually has a girl from The Substance in it.
Okay.
apparently it is the first of who's the director? Ethan Coen's lesbian trilogy.
Okay.
I guess he's making a comedy lesbian trilogy, apparently. I don't know.
Okay.
But this was the first one. It was pretty good. It's pretty funny. The two main characters are do a good job, and yeah, it was all right. It's on Prime, I think.
Okay.
They continued that with this year's Love Lies Bleeding. Really good. I really enjoyed it. Wasn't as like action packed as I thought it was going to be, as what people made it out to be.
Yeah.
It's kind of slow, but I think the performances are good. The main girl who plays the bodybuilder, she is awesome, man. I don't know if she's been in anything else, but yeah.
I don't remember who it is.
Yeah, it's not someone I know. But it's on Prime as well. Check it out.
Nice.
Then I watched District 9, which is one of my 4Ks that I've had for a while. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie, and I fucking love this movie. This movie is so good.
It's a
Holy
good
shit,
ass movie.
it is. And I was looking on the director's IMDb, and they're actually making a District 10. They start production next year, I think, or something.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but really good movie. I forgot it was like documentary style. But it's good.
Yeah.
Then rewatch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. It's a good movie. And then Rush Hour 2. That's part of my 4K watch.
Great
So,
movie.
yeah. And that's it.
Sweet.
What about you?
Where's my thing? I watched two Disney movies this week. The Adventures of
Nice.
Ichabod and Mr. Toad,
Nice.
and then Cinderella.
Oh, nice. Getting
Work.
into the classics.
Yeah. Well, Cinderella 1950, so I'm getting into a lot of the more popular ones now, which I'm
Yeah.
excited for.
Yeah.
Then I watched Trap, which, I mean, it's
Nice.
not Shyamalan's best, but it's not his worst either.
Yeah.
It was
That's
okay.
accurate.
Yeah. And then I watched Hot Frosty just because I felt like I had to, because it was filmed 20 minutes away from me. And it's not good, dude. Like, I gave it a one
Yeah.
and a half, and that even that's being generous. Like, it's just.
Yeah, I think we've watched like the first like I don't know, 30 minutes maybe, like yeah.
Yeah.
I'll probably finish it, but yeah, it's not great.
No, it's not. And then where do I find that? There we go. I went on a bit of a rampage last night because Prime has a bunch of like rentals on for super cheap this week. I haven't watched any of them yet, but I rented Blink Twice, Strange Darling, and Cuckoo, which are all 2024 releases.
Oh man, I really want to watch Strange Darling.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. But hopefully those three will be watched this weekend. And Sarah wants to watch Deadpool and Wolverine finally. So I think we're gonna
Oh
watch
yeah.
that this weekend.
Nice.
I started it last weekend, and then
Oh, did you?
she was
Yeah.
on Disney Plus the other day, and she's like, "You fucking start that?" I'm like, "I watched the first like 20 minutes, relax.
That's funny.
Not my fault you take forever." But yeah. Start playing Dragon Age Veilguard.
Oh, you did get it? Nice.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Nice.
It's so far it's less woke than what everybody's saying it is, so
Yeah, I've seen a lot of videos and stuff on it.
I feel like people are just complaining just to hear themselves.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah.
not even that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, for our box office numbers, I was telling you before we started recording, this is a fucking weird week. Smile 2 is still in theaters. I didn't realize that. It was in sixth place with 2.9 million.
Okay.
I thought it was out
Yeah.
already, so that was weird. In fifth place, we have The Wild Robot with 4.2 million. Fourth place is Heretic at 5.1.
Nice.
Third place, don't know what this is, but The Best Christmas Pageant Ever
Okay.
with 5.2 mil. Haven't heard of it at all. In second place, we have Venom, The Last Dance with 7.2. And then the abomination that is Red One is in first place.
I thought that was a Netflix release.
No,
No, it's theaters.
it's theaters.
Oh, jeez.
4,032 theaters to be exact.
Oh, okay.
And it raked in 32 million in its opening weekend.
Wow.
I have like literally zero desire to watch this movie.
Yeah, me too.
Don't care about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it topped the box office charts for last weekend, so
Yep.
guess we'll see. But yeah, I don't know. Just a weird one. I didn't think the Red One would get that high, and I've never heard
No.
of that other movie, so yeah. All right. What do we have for 4Ks?
Case. All right. So for 4Ks, we got the Terminator 4K Steelbook.
Sick.
We got Dune Part 2 Steelbook.
Sick.
Oppenheimer, another Steelbook.
Wow.
Two Meals for Sister Sarah.
Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. The Iger Sanction. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Play Misty for Me. Yeah, it's a lot of fucking Clint Eastwood movies this week.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
It's out on 4K already?
Yeah, I guess so.
Or is that pre-order?
No, it's out.
What?
Yeah.
It's still in some theaters.
Little Women, 1994. A Simple Plan on 4K. The Killer's Game, Terminator, North by Northwest, Blazing Saddles, Zsasz, The Collection,
Oh, Naked Gun and Airplane.
and Top Secret. Nice.
That's sick.
Rush on 4K, The Dark Crystal,
Oh, that's
Steelbook,
Steelbook is so sick.
Labyrinth, Steelbook as well on 4K. Godzilla Minus One.
Which we got,
We
baby.
did, yes. Star Trek the Motion Picture. Twilight of the Warriors Walled In. Jeez, a lot of fucking
This
4Ks this
is
week.
fucking wild, yeah.
Funny Girl on Criterion Collection. And then House of the Dragon, the complete second season. So pretty stacked week.
That is a lot of 4Ks.
If you're a 4K or movie collector, like for real movie collector, like your wallet is gonna hurt this week.
I really want those steelbooks for Labyrinth and Dark Crystal.
Yeah, they're sick.
Yeah. Great movies too. Okay, now that we've wrapped that up, I'm on IMDb right now and they have the trailer for the Minecraft movie up on the main page.
Oh, geez.
Gonna watch that later because I know we're gonna be going to see it in theaters.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, your kids. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Tenet from 2020. Starting off with the synopsis. Armed with only the word Tenet and fighting for the survival of the entire world, CIA operative the protagonist journeys through a twilight world of international espionage on a global mission that unfolds beyond real time. I don't think
Yeah.
you can sum it up any better than
No, I really can't.
that. We've already mentioned this, but it was directed by Christopher Nolan and obviously, he's known for the Dark Knight trilogy, Oppenheimer, Dunkirk, Interstellar, Inception. It's just,
Yeah.
he's one of the best directors of our time.
Yeah.
I would have to say, and
Yeah.
I don't think there's many
Yeah.
people that would disagree with that.
No.
What's your favorite movie of his?
Probably The Dark Knight is like the kind of bitch answer. But probably Inception.
Okay.
But I feel like I haven't watched Oppenheimer enough. I haven't watched this movie enough. I haven't watched Interstellar. I'm not a fan of it, but I've watched it like a couple times, so I need to revisit that as well. So, yeah. I'd probably say Inception.
Okay.
What would you?
I like obviously Dark Knight is up there, but Interstellar, I know it's not one of your favorites, but I fucking love that movie. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with that one. But like, I've never seen Dunkirk. I've heard it's really good.
It is good, yeah.
And I haven't watched Oppenheimer yet either, which I have your 4K of
Oh
that
yeah, you do.
as well. So, next time we get together, hopefully I'll have a few things for you to take back.
Yeah. Also, I forgot he did The Prestige. I always forget he did that movie too.
Yeah. That's a wicked movie too.
Yeah.
And Memento.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a Letterboxd list. Rewatch all of his movies.
It's not a bad idea, actually.
All right, moving on to the cast. We have John David Washington, who plays the protagonist.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson plays Neo. Elizabeth Debicki plays Kat. And Kenneth Branagh plays Seder.
Yep.
Then we have a whole slew of honorable mentions, so I'll let you go through yours and I'll see if I have any extras.
I mean, I can really think of like two.
Okay.
I don't know if you noticed him in the movie. But he has one line and you can barely see him.
Our boy Sean Avery.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. But the other one I'll mention is our guy Aaron Taylor Johnson. He plays.
Unrecognizable. Because I saw him in the credits and I was just like, I'll keep an eye out for him. And then I got to the end, I'm like, who the fuck was he? And then I had to Google his name in Tenet, and I was like, no fucking way, that's who that was.
Really? I didn't think it
Yeah.
was that
Oh man, I could not recognize him at all.
bad.
But yeah, he looked badass in this movie.
He did, yeah.
So that's all you're gonna do? All right. We have Sir Michael Caine in a very small role. I think he's only in it for like 5 minutes.
Also, I was reading the trivia. There are so many sirs in this movie. Like Christopher Nolan is a sir.
I didn't know that.
Kenneth Branagh is a sir.
Didn't
Yeah.
When did Nolan become, what is it, knighted? Whenever they become a sir? Yeah, when did they knight him?
I don't know.
Pretty crazy though. So yeah, Michael Caine, Martin Donovan, if you look at his
Oh,
face. Yeah.
great.
And then Fiona Dourif. She was one of the military girls.
Okay, I don't recognize her name.
Brad Dourif's daughter, Chucky.
Oh, wow. Well, I know who Brad Dourif is.
Oh, you haven't seen the newer Chucky's, eh? Like
No, I
Cult of
haven't.
Chucky. Okay, yeah.
No.
She's the main character in those ones.
Do you know who John David Washington is?
I know that he was in, was he in Black Klansman?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was in that football show with The Rock on HBO.
Oh, yeah, he was. You're right.
And he
Ballers.
is Denzel Washington's son.
Well, fuck, that makes sense. Never put two and two together on that
Yeah.
one. Okay.
I think I read somewhere he added in like the David to kind of like, separate himself from his dad a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. I like him.
He is, yeah.
Following his dad's footsteps.
Yep.
All right. Let's try and unpack this movie.
All right.
Wish us luck.
Yes. Okay. So I think I want to start very different from how we usually do it.
Okay.
So your first watch, how would you describe the plot or like what happens in the movie briefly?
So, like, give an actual plot breakdown.
Yeah.
I would say, like, I don't know, we have our main character, CIA agent. He's trying to get this material back from a Russian, what is he, like a, not a mobster, but like a, I
Arms
don't know,
dealer.
arms dealer. Yeah, that's what he is. Because whenever he kind of has, there's nine pieces, and if he has all nine pieces, then he can destroy the world. And without giving away the ending and his reasoning, like, you can kind of understand it, but at the same time, like, he's psychotic.
Yeah.
But like, his reasoning is, I don't know, not justifiable by any means, but it's
Yep.
like, okay, I can understand how a psychopath would have these thoughts.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they're able to, like, like certain people are able to reverse time, and they're able to do things backwards. But in order to do things backwards, they have to go through these like turnstiles, and they have to then live their life from where they went back to. They can't go back and forth through time. They can only go
Yeah.
back, and then they have to live, like, if they go back 7 days, they have to relive 7 days,
Yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's like Click with a broken remote.
Yeah. And I'm not like a huge fan of like time travel movies because like it can be pretty confusing. This movie is confusing, but I like the way that they describe the like going back in time. Like it's how does she first describe it to him? Oh, everything's inverted. So, you know, like the title of the movie is Tenet, you know. It's inverted. So basically there's a future Earth, whatever, that has built this these machines to basically invert the world. And from my understanding is the main antagonist. When he was little, there was these towns that the militaries and governments kind of hid from maps and would have these like secret towns. And his town was a big source of plutonium, right? And so from my understanding is he took this plutonium for himself, and the future needed the plutonium to build what they were building, I think, and they would send gold back to him. That's my understanding, is he was basically sending them plutonium in the future, and they would send him gold back, and he was trying to collect these parts from this weapon. It's not a nuclear weapon, it's I forget what they call it, but he's trying to find all these pieces to end the world in the way that he wants to. Is base the world will become inverted, and it's hard to explain, but like the people going forward and the people going backward will like mesh together, and it'll be very
Catastrophic.
bad. It'll be very bad. Yeah, it's almost like if the world would stop spinning, right? So
Yeah, because like everything in present time, like, this technology hasn't been invented yet in present time in the movie.
no.
Like, everything's happening in the future. So the only way that they have this stuff is because people have brought it back from the future.
Yeah. And like the only weapons that are kind of inverted, the bullets, are the ones that the people from the future send back to the people now. And very fucking dangerous to be shot with one bullet that's inverted. I wish they kind of explained that more. of why it's so like catastrophic to like him taking a bullet in the arm, like, oh, I think because it creates radiation, I think, right? Something like that.
Yeah, because it has plutonium in it, right?
Yeah,
Like the metal that they use.
yeah, but
But yeah, like everybody's kind of fighting to get this stuff or to stop Seder from getting it,
yeah.
right? Like there's different like the CIA is trying to stop them, and then like we have Priya, who is another arms dealer, and like Robert Patton, since he's through the CIA too. But like it's there's like different groups of people that are all kind of fighting for this stuff.
Yeah. But yeah. So we'll start at the beginning. Start off with, I feel like Nolan is so good at movie intros. Like, what do you think of this opening opera house scene?
It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, okay, they're just like gonna raid this opera house. I didn't know why. It's like literally the opening 5 minutes of the movie, so you don't really know what's going on like throughout the rest of the movie yet. So I didn't know if like they were coming in here to just like rob all these people because it was like a rich opera house or whatever. No, they just fucking kill everybody. And I was just like, oh my God, like this is like there's like 10,000 people in this opera house and they've killed them all. But yeah, this is where we finally like where we first meet protagonist is his name. And he's trying to obviously stop the siege, but he's like he's not CIA right now, is he?
No, so after this, it's explained to him that this was all a test.
Right, yeah.
Because they're in Russia or Ukraine, I think, and the Americans are waiting there. Then all the Ukrainian police show up, and you see the CIA, they're in the truck, and they have like all these different badges of like different police forces, I guess. And they put that on. There's like maybe like six of them that like go in, and they're gonna go into this place and take out these guys that siege the place. But like all the soldiers put this gas up into the fucking opera house and just kills everyone. It's crazy. And there is one main guy like in the opera house who they're trying to extract out of there. And you do see like the inverted bullet at one point. Because Pro, I'm gonna call him Pro for the whole movie. Because Pro, he almost gets shot by it. But he ends up getting out of there, and taking out the guy that they were there to get. Because they tell him to bring a man over to kill him. And they end up blowing up the opera house. And then they get caught by some Ukrainians and one of his other agents there. They're tied up like on these train tracks, and they end up killing the other guy in Pro. He's tied up and he's trying to eat this pill that the CIA gives him, but the bad guys, they knock it out of his hand or whatever, and then he sees the guy in front of him has like the pill behind his back. He just like dives in, just eats it, and he dies.
Yeah, it's a suicide pill that like they said like if like you get captured or anything like that, eat it. So he does.
So then he wakes up in some medical facility. His boss or someone tells him that he was in a medically induced coma, and basically this was all a test to see if he would be the guy for this mission, basically, right? And then I love that Pro like says, he's like, "Well, I resign," and the guy's like, "Well, doesn't matter, you're dead, you know." But yeah, so he ends up in a wind turbine, and then like they don't tell him what his like mission is or like what this whole thing is about. It kind of reminded me of Bourne a little bit. Like he like is at this wind turbine, like dressed up as a worker, then the boat comes and he gets off the boat and like he walks to a car and a guy gets out. He gets in the car and there's a map, the GPS like already up, and he's just like going to these places and doesn't know what it's all about. and he meets a girl at this kind of lab, and he can't say what they do, and she can't say what they do either. But basically, they're trying to prevent World War III. And he instantly is like, okay, it's nuclear. And she's like, no, it's what she call it? What's the word they use? Temporal war is what they call
Right.
it.
Yeah.
What do you think of kind of the first introduction to the inversion in this scene? Like when the bullet goes back into the gun and stuff like that, she's like showing him how it works and stuff.
I don't know. I thought it was really cool. It's neat how they filmed it and how they did it. 'Cause I'm assuming they filmed it in forward and then just like reversed the film. That's what it looked like to me. I don't know if that's actually what they did, but I don't know. I thought it was neat. I don't know how else to describe it. Like it's cool. It's something that we haven't really seen before, which was nice, which is what Nolan's good at, but
So half of the movie was filmed in reverse, with the cast and crew training to act, fight, and talk in reverse.
Yeah, I knew that,
That's
which is
fucking crazy.
nuts, man. Not only did like, and the one thing that I saw too was Kenneth Branagh. He, because he doesn't normally have a Russian accent, so he had to learn how to speak backwards with a Russian accent. Like, nuts.
And then also like doing all the car stuff like backwards and shit like that,
Yeah.
like crazy.
Yeah.
And I wanted to mention too, this was filmed by Hoyt van Hoytema.
Quite the name.
No, he's done ton of movies. He won he did Nope.
Okay.
He's done a bunch of other. He did Interstellar, Ad Astra, Oppenheimer. So he's, one of the best. Let's say, yeah, I really love this scene when she's like showing him how the inverted like weapons work, and she picks up like the bullet, but it's so weird how it's filmed because it's like going into it, and then he's like, okay, like just puts his hand over it, and she's like, no, you have to pick it up, like you have to, it's like instinct, right?
Yeah.
You have to think about picking up the bullet, and he like moves his hand a certain way, and the bullet goes up. I thought this is just amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like she's fucking around, say like on the table, making it spin around and stuff like that without touching it.
So he's going to Mumbai. He's going to meet Sanjay Singh, who is the big arms dealer in India. And this is where we first meet Neil, who is another CIA agent. But Pro doesn't really know much about him, though, right?
Yeah.
Because they'd be kind of secret about things. I really like this scene with them together because they're like at this like big tall building, and they're like trying to figure how they're going to get up it, and they're like, oh, we'll just bungee jump up and do it.
Yeah.
And like the way they do it, the
That's
way it
so
was filmed
sick.
too, like there's like running up the fucking building, it's
Yeah.
cool. But you find out that Sanjay's wife Priya is actually the brains behind everything. She's the gun dealer in India. And he's asking her about the inverted rounds, and she says that the rounds that she sold were fine, so it wasn't her that sold this ammunition. And she mentions that you can't communicate with the future either. So they're kind of finding information, kind of track where these weapons are being made and stuff like that, because he said to the girl at the beginning, like, if you could find where these alloys or alloys were made, then he can find out, more information.
And he knows right away where the one was, doesn't he? I
Maybe.
feel like he did.
Well, he must have, because he probably thought it was in India, maybe.
Yeah, I can't remember. I feel like he was like, oh yeah, I know where one of them was. One question I had, so like sometimes like we see the present fighting the past or the present fighting the future at one point,
Yeah.
like towards the end of the movie. But like every other instant of like the inversion, it seems like the present doesn't even notice that the future's there.
No.
But it's like, so like, are they invisible or like, how, but if they are invisible to the present, how were the two able to fight each other at that in that one scene?
I don't think he knows who he's fighting, right?
No, I know, but like still he can see him.
Yeah.
And even still, like with Seder at that one point too, like they're able to communicate with each other,
Yeah.
present and future.
Right.
But then, like during the war scene at the end, like you got some people running backwards, you got some people running forwards, but like nobody seems to even recognize that they're there.
Well, because at the end of the movie, they use what do they call it? The temporal pincer attack,
Oh, yeah.
which is they send people from the future and people from the past in different
Right.
directions to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was kind of a part of the movie that I was kind of confused about. The whole like Goya drawing and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So basically he finds at this point that he needs to find Seder, and there's like two Goya drawings. One of them is like fake, one of them is real, and he ends up getting the fake one from somebody and takes it to this girl, what's her name? Kat, because she's like a expert. Well, I think he brings it to her because he knows that she's the wife of Seder, I guess. And basically she tells him that Seder controls her and that he gave her an ultimatum, that she can either leave and never see her son again, I think. And she obviously decides to stay. But he, you know, treats her like shit, beats her, and she hates her life pretty much. But in this scene, we do see that pro can fight. There's a small fight scene in the kitchen. You know,
I love that
she,
scene.
yeah, she thinks like she's in the car and she's like, okay, like we go now. And the driver's like, no, we just gotta, you know, I want to see this happen. And then like he comes out, like just like, you know, all like spiff, and they drive away. I thought it was a fun little scene. So him and Neil have found that there is these things called free ports, which are basically art storage, kind of like they're like kind of like museums, but like not really. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe.
It's like it's almost like storage. Yeah, you said art storage, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like these rich people that have these millions of dollars worth of art pieces, they store them there, and this is like a high-end security, and it like they take every precaution. So like if there's a fire, it releases this gas that sucks all the oxygen out of the air. So then it prevents the fire from spreading and whatnot. Like it's just like
Yeah.
a big vault, basically.
Yep. And I don't know exactly why, what their goal is at the airport.
She needs,
The real painting?
no, Sater purchased the fake painting from
Right.
Arepo, which is a known
Oh,
forger.
yeah.
And he's using her authentication of it as blackmail.
Right.
So she says she's not going to help Pro until she gets that painting in her own hands.
The real one.
No, the fake one.
Oh, the fake one.
Because he's using her authentication. So that's obviously her name on it. And
Yeah.
like it's going to get her in shit, basically.
Oh, okay. Right.
So he says that he'll take it in
Yeah.
exchange for a meeting with Seder.
Okay. Okay. I love the scene with Neil at the Freeport. Pattinson is so good, man. He's such a good actor, man. Like, it's crazy like how far he's come from Twilight, man. Like, even in this scene, like he just has the fucking nice suit and just the way he talks, and it is like he's in like the art room with like the guy like giving him the tour and stuff like that. And he's like starts asking the guy like, oh, what happens like if there's a fire, like what are those things? And he's like, oh, that's like halide gas. It like sucks the air out of the room. And then like he's like talking like kind of bro with the guy, right? And the guy's telling him more information about this place.
Just
He's
spilling
like,
all the beans.
oh, you got 10 seconds to get out of here. And he's like, oh, that's nice of them to give them 10 seconds to get out of here. So they need to get into this area, and so they're going to crash a plane into the back wall. And fucking Chris Nolan bought a real plane
7
to
47.
crash into this thing, and they're like talking about it. And who are they hire? Oh, this guy also looked familiar too, actually.
Here.
But here, I love this combo because like Pro is like very like skittish and unsure about it, but like, but here and Neil are just like, oh, it'll be fine, and like we'll just crash into the back of it.
He's like, who's gonna fly it? He's like, and Mahir's like, I will.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, let's use the gold in the back of the plane to like distract people or something like that. But they get the plane so easy. Like Bahir is like dressed up as like a one of the like runway guys. And he just like gets in the plane, and there's like the guys like with the food and stuff, and he's just like so casual, like fucking choking guys out, and it's so funny.
I love that character too. He's not
Yeah.
in the movie a lot, but when he is, he's good.
Oh yeah, they're like, Pro is like, well, what the pilots we're gonna do with them, and then Bahir's like, almost, put out the slide and throw him out,
Yeah.
and like Pro's like, as it's moving, he's like, they're gonna like get hurt. Ah, oh, they'll be fine. But this plane is fucking huge, man.
Yeah, man, this is a 747 and he bought it just to
Yeah.
crash it into the side of a building.
Yeah. Because they were going to, I read on the trivia that they were just going to use like miniatures, right? But then he found this like basically airplane graveyard in California, and he decided, hey, I'll buy one of those planes and crash it.
This is why Nolan is just peak cinema genius mastermind.
Yeah.
Not only
Yeah.
did he do this, but then in fucking Oppenheimer, he created a legitimate nuclear bomb
Yeah.
and filmed it.
Yeah.
The
Yeah.
guy's a nutcase.
Yep. So they get into the back, and we see Neil and Pro. They're kind of making their way in and out of the rooms, and my God, this would be so fucking scary. Because they have like they take off like the edges of some of the paintings, and they're trying to like break in through the doors and go through each room. Well, they get to like the third one, they're holding their breath, right? Because like it's sucking the air out, and the fucking pick breaks into the lock, and they're holding their breath, and like they look at each other and they're like freaking out, and they get the door open. Oh man, that'd be so scary.
So scary.
But they find one of the machines that sends you from the past and in the future. And I love that they're like blue and red.
Yeah, it's
Kind of like
cool.
differentiates. And I love that they're in the room, and like there's the like the glass between it, and you see like the bullet holes. And Pro's like looking at him, like Neil is like, don't touch those. Like, don't go near those, because those bullet holes haven't happened yet. And then all of a sudden these guys come out of the machines, and we get our first inverted fights. And what did you think of the first time that you saw this kind of scene?
I was confused at like what Neil was saying, but then like as it was all kind of playing out, I was like, okay, I think I understand. But it was also like, I don't know, it's as a first time watch, it's very confusing to watch this all unfold until you kind of really get a grasp on what's actually happening.
Yeah.
But I mean, everything was done so expertly, right? Like
Yeah.
all the fighting was in reverse. You see Pro fighting one of the other guys, and like the bullet holes are now like disappearing.
Yeah.
Because like the bullets are going back into the guns as he's fighting these guys.
Yeah.
And just like everything that we saw in that room is kind of disappearing or like going back to the way that it was originally.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know, it was really cool to see, but also confusing.
Yeah. It's really weird because, like, the guy is shooting the bullets at him now, but that actually happens in the future. Like,
Yeah.
it's confusing, but it's really cool the way they film it. And like, some of it does look, I don't want to say silly, but like some of the scenes, like now, like whenever the guy in the that Pro is fighting, like he like slides backwards really weird, but later on in the movie it all comes back around and makes sense. And
Yeah, we see why.
yeah, so the guy Pro is fighting, he ends up getting away, and then the guy Neil is fighting, I think Neil kills him, I think, right?
Now, Neil just says he takes care of him,
Right.
but we don't see what actually happens
Right. Yeah.
until later.
Oh, right. Yeah, this movie would be so hard to film. Like, as the actors, right? Like, trying to do everything like backwards, but also like forwards, right? It's really weird.
It'd be hard to keep track of everything too, like for Nolan as a director, like making sure everything gets pieced together. 'Cause like you're going through two different timelines.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to keep track of everything.
So like I kind of mentioned at the beginning, Sator is giving stuff to the future, and then they're being attacked by the future. I love this scene whenever Pro is at the dinner with Kat and Sator, and Sator's explaining what he's gonna do to Pro because he fucking hates his guts. What does he say? He's like, "I'm gonna take you to the wall, cut your throat, but not from side. I'm gonna puncture a hole in your throat. They're gonna cut your balls off and shove your balls into your throat until you choke on them." It's like, holy fuck. This guy's fucking nuts, man. And
Yeah, because
then
he thinks Kat and Pro are having an affair.
yeah, I love Pro is so like he doesn't give a fuck because he's just like because Sator is like, "Are you fucking my wife?" And Pro's just like, "No, not yet." And then he says he's gonna kill him, and then I love that Pro is just like, "Do you like opera?" And then Sator is like, "What?" He's like, "Okay, let's have a meeting tomorrow on my boat at 8 a.m. And then they become like best friends after that. So he meets them the next morning. They're going sailing with Kat and Sator. I like this scene, like the way it was filmed and like shot, like it's gorgeous. In this scene, Kat ends up unhooking Sator's harness. He goes flying into the ocean and tries killing him. But then Pro ends up jumping in and saving him. And they get back to the boat, and this is where he kind of explains more about it. He wants to steal 241, which is one of the pieces of the nine pieces that they need to complete the end of the world, basically. And the town that Sator used to live in, grew up in, was called, I think, S Starks 12 or something like that.
Stalks 12, yeah.
Starks 12, yeah. And they found plutonium there, and he kind of stole that plutonium and sent it to the future. Because he would bury it somewhere, and then the future would unbury it. And then they'd like bury the gold, the bars of gold, jeez. And yeah. And then he ends up giving well, Pro ends up like spying on them, they get the fuck beat out of them. And then Pro's about to kill him again. And then what is Pro says something to him, and he says, "Okay, I'll send you to some place to do was going to Talon, another city, to what's he going there for again?"
That's where the case is.
Right. Okay, yes.
which is has it's supposed to have an artifact. This scene confused the shit out of me too, because like,
The truck scene.
well, the truck, like the whole case thing too, like how stuff's going forward, it's going backwards, the case is empty, and I'm like, how the fuck's the case empty? And he takes the case, and the case is on the side of the road, and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ, man, I don't know what the hell's happening right now.
Because this is where more of the inverted and the regulars are becoming intertwined, right? And I feel like the rewatchability of this movie kind of like, I don't know for everyone's case, but like would kind of get better as the more times you watch it.
Oh yeah.
Because like you know what's happening, right? Like in two of the big scenes in this, they relive the scenes but in a different way, and it's like, but Nolan always has, you know, two or three or four just scenes in a movie that you're just like glued onto the TV and you're just in awe of the stuff they're doing. Like this truck scene, amazing.
Oh yeah.
Like so good. Don't ever go into it. While I pour a drink.
Trying to
But kind of
find my
like the
notes
setup
here.
of what it is.
Trying to see. I don't have it in my notes. Is it, this isn't the scene with the fire truck.
Yeah, they get the Neil and Pearl are together in the car, and they're trying to get the case out of the truck. And
Right.
there's like the four different trucks that like come in and like box in.
Yeah, there's like these four huge trucks, and they have it all coordinated. And one of them's a fire truck. And then, so like how you said, they box in the two SUVs and like just fucking smash this one. But there's like tracking sensors on the SUVs in case they stop.
So
But these,
smart. Yeah.
these trucks are so fucking big that they just keep pushing it.
Yeah.
So on the GPS that's like in an office somewhere, it's showing that the vehicle's still moving. So they're like, no, everything's fine. Like they're still moving.
Yeah.
And then fucking Pro gets done up in a fucking firefighter's gear, and he climbs on this fire truck, and he goes up on the ladder, and the ladder will keep like going side, like side shifting over top of, I don't know, it's like a transport truck kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he throws a fucking bomb into it, and then goes back over, and the thing blows up, and then he goes back over again.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was cool.
guys are getting the case, but yeah, it'd be a wild scene to film. Just like, yeah, it's awesome.
But then, like, so they're driving in their SUV, they have the case, and
Yeah.
then Sater shows up beside them,
Yeah.
and he's got Kat at gunpoint in the back seat. And he's yelling at them that he wants the case.
Yeah.
And then there's like, he doesn't think he's gonna do it, but then he like fucking, he's getting ready to shoot her. So he
Yeah.
finally ends up throwing it over to him. At the same time, there's this other car that shows up randomly driving backwards,
Yeah.
flips over, like fucking has this huge crash, flips
Yeah.
over. And I'm just, this is where I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. So then Sater has the case and he drives off. And I don't quite remember exactly what happens after this part. If we see him opening it and there's nothing in it, or is that not till later?
Think that's not till later.
I don't remember exactly what happens after this part.
He Sater ends up getting out of the car
Oh,
and
that's right.
leaving Kat in the back tied up. And Bro is trying to save her, and like this scene is fucking wild too. Like I could imagine filming this, like, you know, Pro is has the door open. They're going like fucking fast. The car that Kat is in is still going backwards, so he has to like jump through the car and like stop it in time. But then a shootout happens, and Pro ends up getting taken in with Kat. And then
So was Cat inverted in that car, or was the car just going in reverse?
this is going in reverse.
Okay. Because he touches her and shit, and like they're not supposed to touch. Like they
No.
can't make skin on skin contact with the
Right.
future.
Trying to think.
Yeah. Because in the next scene, Sater is inverted. Like there's an inverted version and a present version of him in the next scene.
I think Yeah, I don't know. My brain's broken.
It's tough.
So he wakes up with Kat, and they took him to two more machines. And this scene, so Pro's on one side, and on the other side, you see Kat tied up with Seder, and Seder is talking to Pro, but Seder on that side is talking backwards, right? So kind of super confusing, trying to talk about it. So I thought I had it, like, but apparently not. But Pro wants to save Kat, but Seder shot her, ends up shooting her with the inverted bullet, right? But then Seder and all his men go, they leave, and then this is where we first meet Ives, I think. Ives and Neil and them show up to save Pro, and yeah. And then this is where I think Priya's guys show up to. Oh, who is Ives? Worked for Priya, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
And so this is where they're kind of explaining the pincer movement. Basically, half the team goes in, that half, the other half goes backwards. And Pearl wants to go through the machine into the past to save Kat because she was shot with the bullet, inverted bullet. And Eyes and them are saying, no, it's too dangerous and stuff like this. But they end up going back through. And I love the little like blurb of the one girl mentioning how like the past works. Like when he's in the past, that like the air feels different. Either wear a breathing mask and everything is like the opposite, right? So like the wind movement is all backwards, so it's gonna feel very different from you. Like hot, like if you're burned, you're cold. Like it's the opposite effect. It's kind of really cool, I think.
Yeah, and she says like the waves are different, like everything's different.
Yeah.
That's Fiona Dourif that's explaining all that
Right.
shit to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so there's another piece, I believe, in Oslo that they're trying to find of the artifact. Like you said, yeah, don't come into contact with your former self, like touch, like skin on skin, because you'll be annihilated, basically.
Yeah, if your particles like intermingle.
Friction and wind resistance are reversed. Yeah, what do you think of kind of the world whenever he first goes into the inverted kind of world?
I don't know.
Okay. Like
I don't
the seagulls flying
Oh
backwards
yeah,
and
that's right. Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah.
when he steps into the puddle, like the puddle is like gone, but then like as he's stepping down, the puddle shows up, like
Yeah.
just really cool how like this was filmed.
Yeah, like Nolan thought of everything in this scene. Sorry, much like you, my brain is broken right now.
Yeah. When he's driving like the tires, he's going forwards. But the tires are spinning backwards.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So
Be
this is
fun.
kind of. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So this is where we see a couple of the scenes from before where we're into the scene. We're seeing what's happening. So the car in the middle from the first scene was Pro. Pro from the future into the future, but he's in the past. Right?
Yeah, he's inverted.
Yeah. But like when you see that, you're like, oh shit, like they were right there. They saw each other.
Yeah. But didn't know that they saw each other.
Yeah. And the car, you see the car flip over, which we saw before, and Seder comes up and ends up like set the car on fire and it blows up. And then like he wakes up and he's like in the hangar, I think, in Oslo. And he's like wrapped in like the warm blanket kind of thing. And you're like, what the fuck? Like he was just burned to death. And then they're like, well, they like joked, like, oh, you're the first guy to be in a car explosion, but always die of hypothermia or something like that.
That would suck for us in Canada.
Yeah.
Like our winters, like we'd be walking through fire.
You find out that Neil actually works for someone else. I don't think you exactly know who he works for. Actually, you find out that at the end, right?
Think so, yeah.
Because Neil worked for Pro, because Pro hired him, right?
Yeah, and we find out that Priya works for Pro also.
Oh, I totally went over my head.
Yeah, that was a discussion that he has with her in the car at the very end.
Okay. Nice. So now they're back at the point before the plane crash. They're trying to get out of this kind of hangar thing. And another sick ass scene that kind of like goes back to the first scene, right? So Pro was fighting himself at the very beginning. And I love that in this scene, you see like that fight, but like it's this Pro on like offense. And like, it's, I don't know, it's really cool the way they film it. And then you find out that Neil actually saw the future but present Pro.
And he lets him go. And that's how he dealt with them, but like we didn't see that whenever it first happened. But I love the whole airplane scene too, right? Because they're trying to get Kat inside the hangar, right? And they're like, well, how the fuck are we gonna do this? And they're like, okay, we need to time this properly. As soon as we hear the engines of the plane, then we need to run in there because everything's gonna start coming out of reverse, right? So they're running into the broken building while the plane's eventually like starts going backwards and like reversing everything that happened. So they need to get into one of the rooms that's like kind of untouched before everything gets fully reversed. This would be a sick video game.
They would,
Like if they took this idea and just kind of.
So they find out that Andre still has the algorithm, but they don't know where he is and they don't know when he is that he has this. So they're in Trondheim. Ives is there. They found out that Tenet was founded in the future. So is Tenet just the name of like the machine or weapon?
I think Tenet's the name of the organization
Oh, okay.
that like Pro is the boss of. I think.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, yeah. So basically their end goal is that they have to deactivate the algorithm because Sater is going to kill himself. He has cancer, and once he kills himself, then the world dies because he has the algorithm.
And he said to Kat before, like earlier in the movie, he's like, if I can't have you, nobody can have you. And this is why he wants the world to end, because he has inoperable pancreatic cancer. And so he's gonna die. And he's like, no, if I'm going out, you don't get to be with anybody else. Like, so let's just kill 8 billion people.
Yeah, crazy. So they're going to they have to find the dead drop at the hypocenter. They need to explode it. They need to create an explosion at this dead drop to close off the algorithm. So they get to this area and they are going to be doing the temporal pincer movement. Quite the name. So you got a blue team and a red team. The red team is, I believe, inverted. So the blue team we have Pro and Ives, and then Neil is on the red team. And then also Ives and Pro are on team together because whoever goes into the algorithm or dead drop and takes out the artifact or whatever, they have to die basically. Like if you see this place, then like you have to die basically, right? And then we see Sean Avery briefly. So the red team needs to stop the bomb and the blue team needs to detonate the bomb. Kind of confusing because they're on the same team, but they're pretending to not be,
Yeah, they're like
right?
fighting each other.
But not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Because I think maybe the red team. No, I don't know. Yeah. But what'd you think of this final scene, that this like whole kind of sequence of like the two teams like running up and trying to get to it, like all the fucking explosions and like the inverted like bomb was really fucking cool the way they did it.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool because like they're running through this minefield and like the explosions are already happened, but then you just see them all like sucking back down into the earth, and it was really cool to watch. And like half of the army's running forward, the other half's running backwards, and like there's just all this gunfight and explosions going around everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I love this scene. I love this scene with Ives and Pearl when they get to like one building, and like the building is like broken down, and like okay, we need to get to this spot, but like we need a distraction. And then Ives is like, okay, that building, like on the count of like I don't know 10, he's like, okay, go. And you see the building like rebuild itself. And then it explodes, and I was just like, okay, go now. And they run into that building. Like, it's so cool. And they see the one guy, like, just get totally fucked up by the building because he's, like, still in the building. Then, like, rebuilds himself, and the wall, like, smashes him. It's so cool. So the ending kind of, one part of the ending kind of confused me a bit. So we see Pro is down into the dead drop, and there's like a locked gate, right, of where the algorithm is, and this kind of like hole that goes into like pipe that goes into the ground. And there's a dead soldier in front of the gate, and Pro can't get the gate open. And then Ives is like, oh, maybe that guy has a grenade. And he reaches through, pulls the backpack around, and it has that little like zipper that is on Neil's backpack. But Neil is up on the top on the red team still, right? So Neil, meanwhile, he leaves his team and goes to like the opening of the dead drop, and he goes in. So did Neil secretly ha was he like working with himself from the future? Like what who was the dead Neil that we saw there?
I don't know. Like, did Neil die in the future?
Maybe.
Because, like, the last interaction we have between Pro and Neil is they're like separating, like, they're leaving each other. Neil's walking away. And I'm going to see if it's a quote because it was really cool, like, how they, what
Or
they said.
did the Neil that was dead, did he almost get to destroying the algorithm, but he failed?
Maybe.
But I did like this last scene with Neil and Pro and Ives. Well, actually, we'll say now they end up blowing up the algorithm.
Yeah. So the last scene with them, Pro says, "Hey, you never did tell me who recruited you." Neil says, "Haven't you guessed by now? You did. Only not when you thought. You have a future in the past. Years ago for me, years from now for you." And Pro says, "You've known me for years. For me, I think this is the end of a beautiful friendship." And Pro says, "But for me, it's just the beginning." Neil says, "We get up to some stuff. You're gonna love it. You'll see. This whole operation is a temporal pincer." Pro says, "Whose?" Neil says, "Yours. You're only halfway there. I'll see you in the beginning, friend." So I think Neil is dead.
So the Neil we saw dead in there, he is Neil from the very beginning. And this Neil that we see now is from the future.
But how would Neil from the future be there if Neil from now is dead?
Yeah.
That's why I think it's Neil from the future that's dead. Because this Neil still has to
Oh,
live
yeah.
all that time to get into the future.
Right, yes.
That's what I think.
But meanwhile, which we didn't really talk about, Kat is on her own mission with Bahir. They're in the past at Seder's boat on a day that they figured out where Seder went off on his own and was like happy that day. And that is the day that they figured out he killed himself or was planning to kill himself.
Yeah, he hasn't done it yet. Like that's his plan to do it.
So this is future Kat, right?
Yes.
Because she is going back to then, and the past Kat is with their son, Leave, and she sneaks onto the boat, and like Seder is like, "Oh, I thought you just left." And she's like, "Oh no, I stuck back on because I want to spend time with you." And so she, her job is to kill him, but she has to kill him after they take out the
Algorithm.
algorithm. And Bahir is there with like a flare gun. And she's like setting up for the kill. I didn't know what the fuck she was doing at first. Because she like sweeps up some glass, and then she like takes these cables off of the side. And then at one point she's like spraying sunscreen on the floor, and I was like, what the fuck is she doing? But Seder has the CIA pill, suicide pill. He's about to take it, and she's like, no, don't take it yet. And he, you know, is going on like, why? And she's like, oh, the sun isn't set yet, and stuff like this. And but then she ends up killing him. And I love that way she does it. She just kills him and then, like, just fucking kicks his body and just, like, slides off the boat. But she kills him, like, before the timer was up of when they got it out. But they end up surviving. They did it. They saved the world. And then, so we get a final scene. More fucking brain fuckery. You know, just leave you, right? So we see Kat. She is picking up her son or dropping her son off from school. And she sees this nice looking car. And she kind of like looks weird, like kind of like, that's interesting. And then we see Pro in the back of the car with Priya. And you find out that Pro works for Priya, right?
Other way around. Priya works for Pro.
For Pro. And then Priya says, like, she's like talking to someone. She's like, okay, kill her. And then Pro shoots Priya. And then he's on the phone. And it's Kat from
It's now
Earth.
Cat. It's that cat that he's talking to.
But she calls a different Pro, right?
So he gave her a phone before she went back in time.
Okay.
And she said, "How can I get a hold of you?" or something like that. And he gives her this phone and he said, "Just hit call and it'll call my number. If you feel anything's weird, there's something not right, you feel uncomfortable," he said, "just call."
Yeah.
So then we see her on the phone and she has done that. So he
Yeah.
knows that something's fucked up there.
Yeah.
And that's why he shows up. Like he showed up real quick.
He did, yeah.
He doesn't shoot Priya. He shoots the guy that's in the car with her.
But
Because
then I
he.
thought she put the sun visor like up, and I thought I heard a gunshot.
Yeah. He kills her at the end after he
Oh,
talks
okay.
to her.
Yeah.
But he originally kills the guy that's with her because he was going to kill Kat.
Yeah.
And then they have their conversation. We find all that shit out. And then, yeah, he does kill her.
All right.
But yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I mean, you could probably talk about this movie for another hour, but
Just end up confusing ourselves even more.
yeah. So yeah, anything else? That it?
No.
Okay. All
No.
right.
I need to watch this a few more times.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's the way the bullets fly.
Forwards and backwards.
I should have tried to say that backwards.
Oh, Jesus
We've had to practice a few times.
Christ. All right. How did you rate this movie?
So I gave it a 4 out of 5. My first watch, I gave it a 3 out of 5. I think maybe a hot take. I feel like after a few watches, I think this movie could be one of my favorite Nolan movies. It's a good movie, man. The way, just everything about it, the quality, the cinematography, the way it was filmed, it's crazy, like filming this backwards, the actors talking, acting backwards. Like it's fucking like that one Malignant scene that like we went crazy over. Like they're fucking doing this for half the movie. It's like the acting was great, the set pieces were amazing. I just think like from a quality standpoint, this is like 10 out of 10. This is, I think, one of Nolan's best, quality wise. Story wise, I think what hurts this movie is it is just confusing as fuck. There is so much happening, so many different timelines, but like, it's a lot for the story. But I feel like after a few watches, like you kind of pick up on more stuff and see stuff. So, I gave it a 4 out of 5. We'll definitely be watched.
Have to buy my own 4K copy.
Yeah, it looked great on 4K too, by the way.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't see your score, so I'm really interested to see
Okay.
what you gave this.
I gave it a 3.5.
Okay, that's fair.
I said it's a really great movie, but it's wildly fucking confusing. I need at least two more watches, I think, to actually grasp everything. But in true Nolan fashion, it's beautiful, it's well written, and it's an absolute mind fuck. I said I only gave it a 3.5 due to the fact that I was so confused watching it, but realistically, this is like a 4 to a 4 and 4.5 star
Yeah.
movie. Like I know that my score will go up on a second watch.
Yeah.
Probably a third watch too.
Yeah.
So, just on an initial watch, it's very confusing. It's hard to take everything in. It's long. So, like, it's not like it's a confusing short movie, it's a confusing long movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. If you haven't watched it, definitely recommend watching it, but like, pay attention to it because you're
Yeah.
gonna miss shit. So.
But I was so pissed. So like, I rented this movie, but like, I know it was on Crave before. So when Crave wasn't there, and then on my phone I opened Apple TV to rent it, and it had a Crave symbol before beside on Apple TV. So I was like, oh, it's on Crave. So I click it, and it says like, oh, error. So
Oh, weird. Maybe they like just took it off, so Apple
maybe.
hasn't been updated. All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they've scored it. The critics' consensus: a visually dazzling puzzle for film lovers to unlock, Tenet serves up all the cerebral spectacle audiences expect from a Christopher Nolan production. So, based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
It's probably certified. I'll say like 86.
It's actually not certified fresh.
Really?
Yeah. It has a 70%. And that's on 379 reviews and an average score of 7 out of 10. The audience score is also a 70%
Okay.
on 10,000 ratings, an average score of 3.7 out of 5, or a 7.4 out of 10. It's
Nice.
Letterboxd have.
So Letterboxd has a 3.4 out of 5. I don't know if many of our friends have watched this movie, honestly. John gave it a 3.5. I know Anthony was on here somewhere. Jensen 3.5 as well. Scream and Cinema 4 out of 5. Cinemonster 3 out of 5. Anthony a 4 out of 5.
All right. So pretty much all within the same range. Right. It's time for our
cunning stunts.
How did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I gotta go 10 out of 10. Because not only did they do the stunts, just regular stunts, they did it fucking backwards. I mean, like, and just the set pieces and not just like the fight sequences, but like that truck scene, like the coordination to have one giant truck in the middle, two SUVs in front and behind, and then four giant trucks on every side, and then driving a fucking fast ass BMW or whatever it was. And just the way it was filmed, which we've mentioned a few times, I think it's a masterpiece when it comes to the action. One of a kind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Favorite stunt.
Favorite stunt. This one is tough because there's so many good ones. But I'll go with the second fight whenever pros are fighting each other in the hangar.
Okay.
Just because, like, I just like the movements and like you're seeing what you saw before, but from a different perspective, and kind of like story is taking over as well. This is where the story kind of like moves forward as well as like just the action is like just done really well. And stunt I would most like to try. I'll say dressing up like a sexy firefighter and hanging off an extended ladder.
Nice. All
Yeah.
right.
How
Take that.
about you?
Cool. I also gave the stunts a 10 out of 10 for the exact same reason you did. Like, not only did they have to coordinate these fights in like real time, they did it backwards. And like they literally bought and crashed a 747 fucking airplane, man. Like, just crazy.
Yeah.
Nolan is a fucking, he's a madman, but he does it all for the love of cinema.
Yeah.
My favorite stunt, I had the same as you, but I'll change mine to the scene on the highway with the
Yeah.
whole fire truck, 'cause
Yeah.
yeah, it's incredible. Stunt I would want to try, I said the whole like bungee jumping thing on the side of the building,
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't think of that.
'cause I watched like how they did some of the stunts, and like this scene was one of them, and it was like so fucking cool, man.
Yeah.
The way that they like slingshot them up onto the wall, and then like you see
Yeah.
them running up it, and then you watch them run down it afterwards. It's so
Yeah.
cool.
I've heard that mentioned, but like I love that scene whenever they're like done at the tower and they're like, okay, how are we gonna get down? And then they look down and like Pro's like, I don't wanna fucking do that. They just jump off and like they're falling down.
Yeah. It's wild. So yeah. All right. I'm glad I finally watched this movie.
Me too, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to subsequent watches. So, all right. It's my turn to pick our next movie. I told you I did a randomizer with five different movies because I just couldn't pick one.
Yeah.
I wanted to do some classics, and like some of the ones that I had on there, they were just like some franchise classics and shit, but
Okay.
none of those ended up winning.
Okay.
So our next movie is going to be the OG RoboCop.
Oh shit. Nice.
I threw that one in there to see what would happen, but
All right.
yeah,
Nice.
it's been a minute since I've watched it, but I remember I used to
Yeah.
love that movie, so
Yeah, me too. It's been probably a good number of years since I've seen it too. Yeah.
yeah.
Nice.
So come back in 2 weeks and listen to us talk about RoboCop. A little less confusing of a movie.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
All right. In the meantime, if you guys want to check us out on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram, and check out our backlog. Check out our other podcasts where we talk about all horror movies. And yeah, we will talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys, for listening. Check the later.
Bye.